Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
Morena Kirsten, how are you today?
Oh, I'm all right.
That's good.
Sitting in the same, looking at the same walls I've been looking to for weeks.
Aren't we all? You've brought in not a genre this morning, but sort of a ring around some tracks. What are we talking about today?
Yeah, this is a really weird grouping. So this is songs with spoken word intro, and it's unusual. I mean, you know, there's a few of them. It is unusual. I don't know how it works on the radio, perhaps. That's why it's unusual.
Mm.
You know, so I know some of these bands, you know, did the stuff live, but even live that seems weird because the spoken word seems like it's supposed to be from the heart, but when you're repeating it over and over again at concerts.
That's interesting. It is kind of one of those things I think of as being something you'd hear on an album track, or it's very much in the
yes.
recorded version of the track.
Yes. So this first song we're going to play is an old one, and some of you will recognize it. So it's from 1964, and it's the Shangri-Las and the leader of the pack, and it's telling the story of dating a bad boy. And actually, this band was hugely influential on a lot of punk bands. They really liked
yeah.
their aesthetic, their leather jackets. And so, yeah, just listening to that vibe when you're hearing the spoken word, you know, this sort of young love, parental disappointment. And actually, it was banned on the radio in the
Whoa.
UK.
I had no idea. I'm going to hit it.
Is she really going out with him?
Well, there she is. Let's ask her.
Betty, is that Jimmy's ring you're wearing?
Mm-hmm. Gee, it must be great riding with him.
Is he picking you up after school today?
Mm-mm.
By the way, where'd you meet him?
I met him at the candy store. I mean, this song rules.
Yes, we see.
That's when I fell for the leader of the pack.
And the Foley in it as well, having the motorbike sounds. It's all
yes.
it's all quite theatrical, really, isn't it?
I know, you'd think it wouldn't be a hit with the punk sort of crowd, but they just, you know, even the sort of tackiness of it. And yeah, they really recorded someone's Harley. I saw two rumors, one that they sent the chords outside or one that they brought it into the studio. So actually, I think it has a really unpleasant ending.
Yeah, it's a bit of a sort of cautionary tale a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, these gals were into their teen tragedies, and it was two sets of sisters, and one of them was twins.
I didn't actually realize that about. I knew they were sisters. I didn't know the twins bit about the Shangri-Las.
And just listening to their accents are a bit weird. They're from Queens, New York. And so that's why, you know, they drop the R's a little bit.
Sorry, I heard you, leader of the pack.
Does anyone know if Greece was inspired, like a lot of the music in Greece was inspired by the Shangri-Las? Because I feel like there's a strong link there.
Oh, I would think, no doubt. I mean, if they're inspiring punk bands and you're composing the music for Greece, you know,
oh, no.
you're gonna look at. And, oh, she's talking.
Look out, look out, look out, look out!
Oh no.
Absolute chaos.
It's quite an interesting song, this one, isn't it? Because it's like, it's telling you a story from start to finish, and it kind of flips between chatting and, you know, the spoken word part of the track, and then the sort of song chorus response to it almost. Was there a lot of this going around at the time, Kirsten, or was this a bit of an anomaly?
Well, I mean, in the 50s, people did try it on, talking over the bridge, you know, she left me, you know, but not like this. Not like this intro, but there was a genre called teen tragedies, and they got banned because people were worried about that.
It's going to encourage bad behavior.
Yeah.
This is cool. I do love the Shangri-Las. I think that you can see why punks were interested in that, though, because it's pop music, but it's also kind of complicated and weird. Like, it's not what you'd necessarily expect it to sound like.
Yeah, it seems quite ahead of its time. You know, it seems quite complicated. Okay, so now this next one. Wow. Okay. So get ready for some industrial metal in the morning. So it's from 1991. So there's spoken word at the beginning, and I don't know what they thought they were saying there. and a little bit at the end. It's called Jesus Built My Hot Rod, and they're obviously playing with rock and roll, being the devil and that sort of thing.
All right, let's hit it.
Soon I discovered that this rock thing was true. Jerry Lee Lewis was the devil. Jesus was an architect previous to his career as a prophet. All of a sudden, I found myself in love with the world, so there was only one thing that I could do, was ding-a-ding-dang, my dang-along, ling-long.
Oh my God.
That is going to be one of the most buck-wild ways to introduce a song. We're getting some good texts from people doing the spoken word intro thing here. Someone says that they love Guns N' Roses' Civil War, which has got a big old spoken word intro. Someone else says, watch out for guys you meet at the candy store. It's good
advice. Wise.
Oh, and yes.
The Shangri-Las should have listened to that. And Chris has texted in to say that when they were at school, the teacher asked them to bring in lyrics, and they brought in Motley Crue's only good song, Shout at the Devil. As in, it could not understand the spoken word intro. The teacher concluded it actually had no meaning.
Oh, well, like ding-a-dang-dong, ding-dang-dong.
Yeah, ding-a-dang, I can't even, ding-a-dang-dong, the ding-a-ling something.
Okay, okay.
So there's no sort of like genre that links these things together, but it is quite an unusual device to use in a track. Why do you think people gravitate towards it, Kirsten?
I don't know, mate. I mean, no, I feel like you do feel really intimate with the artist. You know, you feel like this is them talking. This is them speaking to me. I guess, you know, now we have social media and you can watch your artists, you know, on their Instagram or their TikTok or whatever. But this felt like they were talking to you. You know, like he, in that beginning, his voice coming over felt like, oh, he's talking to me.
Mm.
And you get a little insight, even though obviously it's... Yeah, it's a weird device. So yeah, it's not a genre. It's like, I don't know, some sort of weird option or technique that lots of genres seem to, you know, these are all quite different genre.
And it's kind of interesting because it, I mean, with the Shangri-Las track, that was like a scripted, almost like a play. You know, you're listening to a story that they're telling. Whereas with this, it's obviously like tongue-in-cheek. It's got like humor and irony in it, but also it's a little bit like harder to pin maybe where that spoken word comes from, if it makes sense. Like, is this them trying to be authentic or like let you in on a joke? Or it's just kind of curious. Wow, if you really weren't feeling very awake before this track, hopefully this is...
I know.
This is the real wake-up call.
This song's not extremely serious, though, either, is it? It's got... I mean, like, the whole ding-dang-dong thing in it is kind of ridiculous, and they're sort of leaning into that a wee bit.
Yeah, and that's why it's funny that he starts off so serious, and then, you know, he sets up the song, you know, like a joke. So there's lots of famous ones. The Big Butt Song, Hey Becky, oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. It is so round. Like, you know, there's, people love them, they're quite famous, but yeah, I reckon they'd be awkward performed live and difficult for radio.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting. And none of the songs, I guess that, well, no, actually, I was going to say the Shangri-Las track definitely would have been released as a single, but the one we're about to get stuck into, and I'm just going to quietly fade out Ministry. Sorry, Ministry. Loving that.
But we have to be silent for this next one.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else. The afterworld. A world of never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun, day or night. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one.
Doctor, everything will be alright. Instead of asking how much of your time is left, ask him how much of your mind, baby. Cause in this life, things are much harder.
So this is an interesting like one again, because it's if this happened in a concert, if Prince started doing some preaching in the middle of the set, I would not blink an eye. I think I would be like, this makes sense.
Well, or if it came off, you know, with not seeing him, but just some smoke, and then coming through the middle of it.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, exactly.
You know, so Dearly Beloved, it sounds like, oh, is it a wedding? But it actually has religious overtones, the song.
Totally.
And he highlights, you know, it's evidence of his religious, you know, penchant and, you know, being frightened of the devil and...
And it's got you know, a fabulous kind of campiness to it in this particular track.
And it highlights, you know, like his gospel black roots, you know, because sometimes he gets so rock, you know, but he brings you back, like, this is the sort of thing I grew up in. But yeah, apparently this worked really well live, and he did it all the time.
I love bet this track. Would. I'm kind of imagining him, as you say, coming through a cloud of dry ice, but like maybe on some like wires, like coming down from the ceiling.
Yes!
Or on a motorbike.
On a motorbike. Yeah. With a purple motorbike. Light behind him.
Yes.
It's a really interesting thing, I think, if an artist decides they're going to put something like this in, if they are thinking about if it's a song they'll ever perform or if it's something that they're just putting straight into a recorded space. I can't imagine... Yeah, I can't really imagine that Prince wouldn't have thought about not performing this, because it feels very stadium-esque. But something like the Shangri-La's track, you'd have to get really into character to,
yeah,
to do that.
They had to perform that on TV and stuff, and it was awkward, man.
Someone said Thriller and Number of the Beast by Iron Maiden. Got some classic bits of spoken word.
Now this was also the open to his album. You know, and so back in the old days, kids, there was something called an album. And that's where the artist chose the order of the songs, and that's how you listen to them.
I mean, it's a strong opening. It's a strong opening. Someone said that the three songs we've played back to back, it's got a very BFM flavour to it.
Nice.
I think in terms of just jumping randomly around genre and being
in
quite bonkers. Yeah. Outrageous. Imagine hearing this for the first time.
I know. I think I'd wet my pants. Actually, I'm almost wetting my pants now.
It is a fascinating concept to decide to talk in a track. It's sort of almost, I think you think about artists quite often, the music is a way to overcome the weirdness of trying to express yourself, and bringing spoken elements into it could be a vulnerability, unless of course you're doing it in character or in some sort of like wink wink nudge nudge kind of a way.
Even hearing Prince's voice, you know, because he didn't do a lot of interviews, and so it was more vulnerable. I mean, we would think songs would be vulnerable, right, because you're revealing.
Yeah,
but yeah, like you said, that's swapping into something that is more like the real you.
Yeah
even though it's a character.
Yeah, totally. Well, speaking of characters, someone said Diamond Dogs being one that's got that good sort of world building that happens through the spoken word intro, kind of setting the scene and the time and the place on that Bowie record. And someone else has said Spodeodidopalicious by Outkast being another one that kind of walks you into the track through a spoken word intro. Very interesting device there. Thanks for bringing it in, Kirsten.
You're welcome.
Where are we going next week?
1960s rock instrumentals.
Ooh, that sounds cool. Okay, noodling. We love to see it. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you again next Friday.
All right.
Okay. That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
Thank you.